His message this morning ties in so well with mine, letting go of power and control. And this morning I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to use a term in here that through this book I've been reading along a scripture with Peter that I've learned throughout this past summer of what it means to let go of power and control in your life. But also there are things in our life that devastate us. And he calls us hitting the wall. And so I'm going to share that with you this morning of what that's like in our faith lives, and it affects us, all of us. And you're going to learn that this morning. So I'm going to do things a little different with you. We're going to start out in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. So I want you to go there first. And then we're going to go to Philippians, and we're going to come back to Genesis 22. So you know that Ephesians and Philippians, Ephesians comes first in the Bible. It's in the New Testament, so you can flip back to around page 18, 15 or so. And then a couple pages behind that will be Philippians. And then we'll go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22. Ephesians 1 verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. And here's what I want you to think about this morning as I'm going to read the other verses to you. That God is always moving us, and he wants us to be holier and more blameless every day of our life. And there are things that we encounter that move us. So hold on to that thought. Now Philippians, turn to there with me if you would, chapter 4, verse 12. I'll give you a minute to find that. All right, so in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, I want you to hear these words this morning. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's my basis of what we're going to learn about this morning. Just a minute, you're going to see what Genesis 22 brings you. And then, of course, the verse goes on, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, God is always there. God is always taking care of our needs. He's always watching over us. And nothing by mistake enters your life. Now, Genesis 22. This story is a familiar story. It's a tough story. I remember debating this story in seminary. What's God doing here? And it's when Abraham gets tested. And so when I talk about that God is always moving us and he's trying to make us holier and holier in our lives, but yet he cares for us deeply. So listen to this story now as I just kind of put those two verses in context with you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said this to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Now for most of you, that alone should like, what is going on here? Right? So hang on to the story. Let's read through it. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed its burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here this morning, I ask for your blessing upon this service. This message, may it be your words and not mine, and I pray you fill me with that Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here at home or online that that same Spirit will just open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your word today. May it speak to us in a new way. Lord, may it encourage us in our faith walk with you. Lord, teach us your ways. In Jesus I pray, amen. Life is a journey. How many of you have heard that phrase as you've lived life? Let me talk about that with you this morning. Journey involves movement, doesn't it? It takes action. There's stops and there's starts. There's detours. There's delays. There's trips into the unknown, and you're on a journey in your life. The Christian life is a journey, and God holds the map to our journey, each and every one of us. The story of Abraham and Isaac is truly a journey of faith for Abraham, and I'm betting even for Isaac, when he is strapped down to that wood pile, knowing that, what is my dad doing? What faith that must have taken. I'm sure there are a lot of other things that are going through his mind as well in that story. But it's a journey that raises questions, more questions than answers. And often you will find yourself in those types of situations in life as you encounter things. God called Moses to a burning bush at the age of 80 to a new journey. God called the Israelites out of Egypt for 40 years to a new journey. Jesus called his 12 disciples to a journey. You know what all these journeys, all these stories have in common throughout their stories and biblical experiences? They face significant trials in their lives. They face things in their faith journey that were unbelievable. And I'll share some of those with you this morning. But their faith was put to the test. They found themselves in places that they have never been before. Didn't know how to navigate the waters. Not quite sure how to react. What to do next. And a lot of times they find themselves in situations that they didn't feel very comfortable in. And Peter Scazzaro calls it hitting the wall in our spiritual lives. So you're going to understand this morning what that means. And so here's a brief definition. The wall is the emotional and spiritual block that we'll all face at some point in our life. When those hard things come into your life, you're going to hit the wall. It can be a time of doubt. It can be a time of spiritual dryness. It can be a time of questioning our faith. Due to the circumstance that you find yourself in the midst of, whatever that might be, it's been called desolation by Ignatius. It's been called the dark night of the soul by John. They went through it. They experienced it. What's important to remember about the wall is that it's something that we will all experience. It is necessary for us to grow in our relationship with God, the wall. Some of you might be living in that place right now this morning, wherever you find yourself. The news that you've maybe heard this past week, and maybe others who are living in the midst of that right now. This morning, though, I want to make you aware of the wall. Next week's message, by the way, this is part one. Did any of you catch that? This is a two-part series this morning. So next week, you're going to learn what it means to go through the wall and to live on the other side of the wall. But this morning, I want you to understand in your life what the wall means, what it looks like, what it is, and how do you deal with it? Because there's different ways of dealing with the wall as it come against those things in our life. And so our faith journey is going to have different stages to it. And Christ takes us through those things as we grow in our faith. And let me see, did I jump ahead? Here we go. That's the screen I want to be on. But many of us get stuck when we hit the wall, or the dark night of the soul. And so let me just share with you some of those things this morning. The best biblical answer that I can give you is Judas, Jesus' betrayer. You guys remember him, especially as we come into Lent and so on here. Judas couldn't comprehend in his mind what Jesus was doing, especially when he surrendered himself to the authorities and was willing to give his life. At that Last Supper, as he shared with them the cup of blessing, the cup of communion, he let Judas go do what he had to do. But here's the point I want to make with you this morning. Think about Judas's life. Now, I know that this is part of God's plan to bring salvation to the rest of the world, to the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. But Judas couldn't comprehend the depth of what Jesus was doing in his faith life, because Judas thought, here's this real king. He had power to heal people, the authority to calm the waves, and now he's saying that he's going to die. That makes no sense to me, is what Judas thought. Judas hit the wall. He couldn't see how anything good could emerge from this. He got stuck in his faith, and he couldn't go on. In fact, he couldn't move past it. And eventually it resulted in him quitting Jesus, because he didn't know how to go through the wall where he found himself in his life. Some hard things. Many believers today get stuck. They fail to see the larger picture when the dark night of life comes over them. The circumstances and the pain they're going through, they blind them. And sadly, a lot of Christians become stagnant and even leave the faith when they hit the wall, because life is too hard. I don't understand it. Who's this God that you talk about that I pray to that doesn't hear my prayers? Why isn't he helping me in the midst of hitting the wall, the dark places in our lives? And what we need to understand is that growth into maturity in Christ requires going through those walls that you and I will experience in our lifetime. Going through those dark places in life. Jesus does mighty work in those times in our lives when we come against the wall, when we come against those dark places that we're uncomfortable and we don't understand. That's where God does his best work in you and I, in those places. And if we're going to be followers of Christ, there are phases, there are seasons, there are walls to our journey. And what I'm going to share with you is like a map of what God is doing in our lives. And it might make a lot of sense to you. If you have your outline with you this morning, flip that over and you'll see this little chart on there. This is for you to take home. It'll be on next week's as well, because we're only going to study the first three this morning, and we're going to look at those in our life. And I need to give credit. This is not my work. This is the work of Janet Hagberg and Robert Gulick. They have a book called The Critical Journey, Christian Writers. It's called The Critical Journey, Stages in the Life of Faith. But they help us to understand that God takes us through tough things in our life to perfect our faith, to grow it, to become deeper, to become more connected with Jesus Christ. And guess what? Those things that you and I go through are intentional in our lives. It might not seem like it at the time, but God places those in our lives, in our paths. We often talk about how Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, but Jesus is moving us deeper in our faith, whether we're willing to go or not. He's pushing you along if you're a follower of Christ. And for some of us, that gets a little scary, because we get out of our comfort zones. We live in places that we don't want to be in. They're hard places. And so sometimes we get stagnant. We don't want to move or whatever. But sometimes God puts things in your life where you have no choice. You're going to be moved one way or the other. Ephesians 1 verse 4 in the bottom of your screen. For those of us in Him, before the creation of the world, He created us to be holy and blameless in His sight. Well, how do you become more holy? How do you become more blameless? You need to grow richer and deeper in your faith journey with Jesus Christ in your life. I'm going to share with you this morning three of those six stages of what that looks like, what that means. Now, the first couple are pretty simple. You're going to get it and you're going to understand it. So let me just take you through those this morning. Stage number one is, as you become aware of God, there's a life-changing awareness of God that happens in your life. It can happen in childhood. It can happen in adulthood. But here's the point. Somewhere you learn that God is real. You understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that He offers you forgiveness and He frees you of all those things. And you begin to change the way you live your life for Christ. Stage two is you become a disciple. And what that really means is you have an eagerness to learn more about who God is, who the Trinity is, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ the Son. You want to be in your Bible. You want to know about your faith. You want to know more about creation and the world that you live in. And you develop a hunger to know your Lord. Discipleship. Learning about who God is. You have that desire in your life. That's why you come to church. That's why you do your devotions. That's why you pray. And you continue to learn about who your God is in your life. And then you come to stage three. It's called the active life. You realize who God is. You have an awareness. You're learning about Him. And then you want to do something about it. And so you join the church and you're active in your church. You're active in your community. You're in missions and so on. You're doing things for Jesus. It's the first three stages that we look at here. And you get that. You're all there. You've been there. You begin to experience God in different ways, in good ways. You see what He's doing around you. You see what He's doing through you and through people in your life. And then as we live life, we encounter devastating things that turn our life upside down. And then we wonder why. I got a picture on there of a community that was struck by an F5 tornado and everything's leveled. You see, you're going along in your Christian life, and all of a sudden, the wall appears. The dark night comes, and everything that you thought was good and right, and you see God at work, and all of a sudden, it is just devastated, and you're just totally thrown off your game, and you're wondering, what is going on in my life? Where is Jesus in the midst of everything that's gone on? Some call it seasons. But how do you know when you're in the dark night? How do you know when you hit the wall? How do you know when you're in that season? And here's some very key things that you're going to know and you're going to understand. And some of you have been there before, and I've been there before. It's going to feel like the door of heaven is shut. He doesn't hear your prayer. Your faith journey's dry. You try to read Scripture, and it's like dust. It doesn't come to life. It seems like it's hard to be fed, and you don't quite understand what's going on in your life. You feel helpless. You feel defeated. You feel alone. You feel empty. Your weariness overcomes you. You're tired in your spiritual journey. And usually that wall appears through a crisis that turns your life upside down. Here's some examples of things that might do this to you. A divorce, a job loss, death of a family member or maybe a close friend, a cancer diagnosis. Most of you heard this past week that Kenny Kudum was diagnosed with liver cancer, and I talked with them the other night, and they said they were devastated when they found out the news. You see, they hit the wall. The Dieters, they hit the wall the other day. What do? We're devastated. You see, we all experience those things in our life as we live life. a shattered dream, a wayward child, a bad car accident, a pandemic, and I could go on and on. You know what they are. And usually when these moments come, there's a dryness or loss of joy in our spiritual lives or even in our relationship with God the Father. They somehow seem to be kind of close when those things come. But I think it's intentional. Because we begin to question ourselves. We question God. God, why did you allow this to happen? This makes no sense to me. We question the church. Is this what my faith's about? We discover for the first time that our faith does not appear to work. You might doubt yourself as you pray, because it's not happening. You don't hear God's voice. You don't hear anything changing in your life. And you have more questions than answers. We don't know where God is. We don't know what He's doing. We don't know where He's taking us. We don't know how He's getting us there. And we might even ask, when will this all be over? But get this. God brings us to those places in our lives. And He brings us to those places that we don't know what to do. And places that we've never been there before. All with the intention of growing your faith. Deeper and stronger and wider in the Lord. Seasons and walls, they come whether you like it or not. You don't get to determine them. And over a lifetime, you're going to experience many of them. Some more than others in your walk. I don't know why. But it's all in God's hands. God also chooses the length and the level of intensity that you're going to go through. And I don't know why that is either, but I'm assuming He knows what you need to grow your faith, to draw you close to Him. And He'll do what it needs to bring you salvation in your life. And so let me share with you that the wall, if you got your little diagram with you, and stage four are very closely related. Notice the wall comes between 3 and 4 in our lives. Stage 4 is called the journey inward. This is where believers get stuck. This is where most people will get angry at God. This is where people will get hurt. They'll be sad. They feel bewildered. They feel lost in their faith. They're not sure what to do. This is where people will say, I'm done with this God. I don't need this anymore. Life's too hard. And they walk away from their faith. And we might even cry out like Jesus Christ did on the cross that day, my God, why have you forsaken me in our faith walk? And oftentimes, this is where good Christians, their hearts become hard. They become hard at God. And Jesus spoke about this in the parable of the sower, about the soil of our hearts. But the wall calls us to look deep within ourselves. The dark night calls us to journey inward. It calls us to consider, what is God doing inside of me? And we wrestle with what we find ourselves in the midst of. And here's the point that I want you to get. Let me back up here. This is the point where God begins to rewire you. Your thoughts become different. The way you do things become different in your life. Your prayer life changes. Your heart even changes for the Lord in those processes, in those times in your life. And He's taking you to a much deeper place spiritually. And this is where God will do great work. Stuff that you can't even imagine in your life. Deep change takes place. And this is where you learn that you take great delight in God, no matter what the situation, no matter what the season is, no matter what the wall looks like in your life. This is where you learn Philippians 4, verse 12, on the bottom of your screen. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, but I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. See, right there is the key. It's always about God the Father. Always. In our life. What is he doing in me? It's finding peace in the midst of the darkest night of our lives. You can say to yourself, even though I find myself in this situation, I know that it's going to be okay. Because God's got this under control. And you believe it and you trust it with the very deepness in your heart. And you're at peace with that in your life. So how do we get through the wall? That's the question, isn't it? Because if we don't learn to get through the wall, and you're going to be confused and you're going to have pain that you can't deal with in your life. And you'll turn to a lot of other things that will try to take away that pain. Not good things, by the way. But God wants to take us through that wall. And I talked here a week or so ago, maybe it was last week, if I remember right, when we talked about the emotional baggage. And the importance to get rid of that. Because if we don't go through the wall, and you continue to carry your emotional baggage with you, your life's just going to be a mess. And God says, I want that all cleaned up. I want to take care of that. I'm going to take you through these hard places, but I want you to unload that stuff, and I'm going to take you through the wall, and I'm going to make your faith even deeper than what you've ever thought before. I want you to trust me. And so we're going to learn what it looks like to go through the wall next week. And then you're going to learn, what does it look like to live on the other side of the wall? Because that's what the Bible talks about, where you find joy and happiness and peace. In this world, when everything seems to be falling apart. Ever been to a funeral and the family, you know, should be devastated, and you get there and they've got it together and they're doing quite well, and you find yourself the one that's sad and weeping, and you're wondering, why aren't they crying and I'm so sad? It's because of the grace of God on that family, because they hit the wall. That's what I'm talking about. That's how God carries us through those situations in our lives. Your job is to just trust God. Trust God. It's going to be okay. So next week, that's where we'll go. And all of God's people said,